transition from the time of singing to the sermon time. So, all right. So we are going to be in Joshua chapter 3. Joshua 3. Well, actually, Joshua 3 and 4. We're going to read all of chapter 3 and a good portion of chapter 4. And as we look at this text today, I want us to have two questions in mind. And we'll have these questions up on the screen. The first one is, what do we learn about God from this event? And that's really a question that anytime we come to Scripture that we ought to have in our minds, right? What do we learn about God from this event? The second question is about putting ourselves into that situation, living it or experiencing this event as best that we can. So the question is, what would it have been like to be there for this event? So let's keep those questions in mind as we work through this text. Starting at verse 1 of chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim, which was just east of the Jordan River, and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it. That command there at the end, not to go near the ark, we get that. We know from other places in Scripture that they were to revere the ark. The ark was a symbol of God's presence with the people, also his covenant with the people. So the ark is very important. In fact, as we think about the question, what do we learn about God from this event? We can already see something in these first few verses. It is God who is going to lead the people into the promised land. God is the true leader. Joshua's work as the leader, his success as a leader, is going to be determined by his awareness of God's presence in his life. We'll get to that in here in just a moment. We'll talk more about that. This Ark of the Covenant, as we know, there's going to be a picture of this. It was a box that had a couple angels on top of it. And within the box, there were some important items for the Israelites. The tablets that contained the Ten Commandments were in this box. Also, a jar of manna that God provided for the people during the wilderness wanderings was in this box. Also, as you remember, Aaron's rod was in this box. This box, again, this Ark of the Covenant, was a sign, a symbol of God's presence with the people. Very important. So that the ark is going out first is showing the people that this is ultimately about God's leadership for them. Joshua then says in verse 5, he told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. In other words, get your minds ready to be blown. That's what this comes down to. Consecrate could have meant some sort of ceremonial washing or a bathing of sorts. Or it could have meant simply just get your minds ready for an incredible event to take place. Be prepared. And so we think about what would it have been like to be there for all this, to hear Joshua say what he says in verse 5. We start to prepare ourselves for something incredible, knowing that once again, God is going to do something amazing for his people. Verse 6, Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. And so what do we learn about God? The Lord wanted to ensure the people that he was with Joshua. Again, the people recognized that Moses' leadership was about the presence of God in his life, and it's going to be the same with Joshua. And so God thought that that was very important. The people understood that God was present with their new leader. A side note here, but it's an important one. For the leaders in this congregation, for shepherds, for ministers, for deacons, for others, your work as a leader, just like it was for Moses, just like for Joshua, is ultimately determined by your awareness of God's presence in your life. Your leadership is about God working through you. And so as leaders, we need to be attentive to what God is doing in us and among us. God saw the crossing of the river as a partnership between himself and his people. You have to wonder, what were the priests thinking as they got to the edge of the Jordan River and even started wading out into the water? What would have been going through their minds at this time? What is God having us do? This is crazy what's going on. But that's exactly what the priests did. It's a partnership. The priests were acting in faith in their powerful and amazing God. Verses 9 through 13. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." What do we learn about God? God wanted to speak to his people. Before rushing into the land, you know that the people were ready, right? This is the land that had been promised to them. But first, they were to stop and hear the word of the Lord. In our busy lives, right, we're rushing around. Do we stop to listen to the words of the Lord? Verse 10, "This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." The people, again, were to make the first move, specifically the priest. What do we learn about God? See what it says there? This is verse 10. "This is how you know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, and the other peoples that are inhabiting the land." Don't miss this. It is God who is going to be delivering the victory for the people. They are simply to trust him. We need to talk about the basis for driving out the people in the land. If you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 20, it's in verses 16 through 18. It says this: "However, in the cities of the nations the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, do not leave alive anything that breathes." So this is about the people that are in the land that has been promised to the Israelites. Again, this is Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 16 through 18. "Completely destroy them, the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Otherwise," this is important, "otherwise they will teach you to follow all the detestable things they do in worshiping their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God." Some of us are troubled by this command to completely destroy the people that are living there. And I get that. I understand that. I'm kind of troubled by it myself. But notice the purpose of the driving out. It's about Israel's witness in the world. It's about what God is planning to do through his people. "Otherwise," this is verse 18 again, "otherwise they will teach you to follow all the detestable things that they do in worshiping their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God." So when you think about that, I just remind you to keep Deuteronomy chapter 20 in mind. Back to Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. "So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. So we think about what would it have been like to be there, to see these waters stopped in a heap. And then as you walk and you recognize this was a place that a river was just flowing. This was flood stage. The waters would have been moving fairly rapidly. And now the waters are stopped. It's dry ground. And as you pass through to go to the promised land, you're walking right past the Ark of the Covenant. As I've mentioned, the covenant was a sign of God's presence, God's protection, God's covenant with the people. So you walk by the ark, the people recognize that this is about what God is doing for them as a people. Now into chapter 4, verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you," I'm going to say here, parents, grandparents, all of us, take note of this. What do these stones mean? "Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." What do we learn about God? God's the one that says, this was God's idea, build a memorial of this event. Remember this event. And when your children ask, tell them the story of God's amazing work. Memorials have a way of calibrating our lives, don't they? They put us back on track, so to speak. They remind us of what is most important and precious in life. And these stones were to be a reminder that it is God that is leading the people into the land. It's about what God has done for them. What would it have been like to have been there? Remember, the people had been waiting a long time to get into this land. Over and over again, they're reminded that God's going to lead them to the land. God's going to lead you to the land. God has promised you the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now they get to the river. And they say, Joshua says, "Wait just a second. Let's get some stones. Let's build this memorial. It's important. Memorials calibrate our life, just like what we did with communion. Puts us back on track. It reminds us of what's most important and precious in life. Build this stone monument, 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And so what do we learn about God just in summary? God's the one that leads the people through the river. It's not Joshua, it's God. The Ark of the Covenant was a visible marker of God's leadership. God ensured the Israelites that he was with Joshua, just like he was with Moses. God told the people that he was going to drive the people out of the land. This is God's doing. God's the one that stopped the flow of the river Jordan. And God wanted the people to build a memorial of 12 stones as a remembrance of the day the waters parted. The Israelites, think about if you were there, the Israelites saw the power of God on display. Imagine the impact of this. This is our God, the one that can stop the flow of a river. And so Joshua said, remember it back there in verse 5. Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, prepare your minds, get ready, for the Lord is about to do something amazing among you." On Thursday, as I was working on this message, I was actually thinking about what amazing things is God still doing among us? So I was processing that. I was making some notes. It was about 9:15 on Thursday morning. There was the doorbell rang here at the church building, and two men came in. One was Mike Witten, another was Cole Witten. Mike's the father, Cole's the son. Some of you may remember that name. Cole came to church here, I think it was about 10 years ago. And back then, Witt and Cole built a connection, built a relationship of some sort. Cole was impressed with Witt. Cole, I don't know the whole story, and I won't even pretend to, but all I know is that on Thursday morning, Cole came in with his dad, and he said, "I want to be baptized. I need to get my life on track, and I want to put Jesus on in baptism." And so at about 9:30 on Thursday morning, Witt had the privilege of baptizing Cole Witten. And so I was thinking, what amazing things does God do among us right there? And the cool thing is Witt was kind of having to jog his mind remembering this young man. He's 22 years old. You never know the kind of impact that God is making in and through you. You never know the amazing things that God may even be doing through you right now. God is doing all kinds of amazing things. We have a ladies' day or a ladies' weekend. It's called the day, but it's 2 days. I'm trying to figure that out. We have this ladies' weekend that's coming up next weekend. I know there's going to be a bunch of women together worshiping God, learning more about His Word, hearing His Word powerfully spoken and presented. That's an amazing thing. The youth are at Soul Link right now, worshiping God together. A vision team is working on thinking about the future of this congregation. Higher Ground is coming up both for the ladies and for the men. Just this morning, children were taught the Bible. A bunch of people from different backgrounds, right here, right now, different backgrounds, have come together to worship God. And I say, that's amazing. Joshua said, consecrate yourselves, for the Lord is going to do amazing things among you. And that wasn't just a promise for a couple thousand years ago, 3,000 years ago, but even today, the Lord is doing amazing things among us. And here's the deal. As I was thinking about God doing amazing things in this event here that we read about in Joshua 3 and 4, I remember what's the significance of this for the people? And again, thinking about if we were there, if we were some of the folks that were walking through the Jordan River on dry ground, what's the significance of this? Again, it is that God is the one that is going to lead these people into the land and bring them victory. The word that came to mind for me as I was reading this is the word surrender. It's the word surrender. The Israelites' ability to win battles. Again, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, all these sites, you know. It's not the Perizzites, but Perizzites, I think is how it's called. It's a Z there. But in an amazing, they're going to go and they're going to have all kinds of battles. And we're going to read about these in Joshua. But the first action for the people in winning these battles is surrender. The first action for these people as they move into battle is actually surrender. Because it's God that is going to be fighting the battle for them. It's God's leadership. It's God's own. If they have victory, it's because of what God has done for them. I think for a lot of us, we have battles, right? I'm not going to pretend to know all that you are going through, but even today, I'm confident there are some here that are fighting different battles. I would encourage you to start fighting that battle by surrendering to God. Think of Ephesians chapter 3, what Paul said in verses 19 and 20. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Paul says, God's power, the same power that parted that river, is at work within you. And so as these folks were moving into the land, it was evident to them that this was about what God was going to do, the power that was at work within him. And all of us need to be reminded of that, that that same power is at work within us. So in all these battles, in all of life, it starts with surrender. So we pray, God, use us. God, act on our behalf. Without you, we are nothing. Without you, we are nothing. All to you, Lord. All to you. We surrender it all. If there's anybody here today that needs the prayers of the church family, we're always here to pray for you. Here in a moment, Rob's going to lead us in what we call the invitation song. If you want, you can come forward, let us know what's on your heart, and we'll pray. We'll pray with you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to do what Cole did on Thursday morning, I think it was about 9:30, and give your life over to Jesus in baptism, we would love to witness you do that today. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward as we continue to worship our amazing God. Just stay.